Well, first of all, really honored to be here in many different ways. It's amazing that God has taken my life from where it was at one point to where it is today. To begin, I'd like to introduce the joy and reason that I have the opportunity to speak. This is my wife, Jenny. I have three of my four here. I have Sheridan, my oldest, and then Isaac and Rumana are my two children adopted from Ethiopia. So today what I really want to do is talk about what I feel is the antidote. In other words, the inoculus of abortion. Because we're here about saving life. And a lot of times women are placed in a place of burden, of hardship, of fear, because they don't know what to expect for that life that they've been given. And adoption is a beautiful, amazing option for them to find a great life for their child. And one of the most important things we can do is inform young women or older women, whoever it is, that there is resources, there are families, there are people out there who want to love that child. And we want to give that child a chance. So today what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about some of the basic realities of what adoption is, all the different forms to it, and I might wake you up a little bit with some of the statistics, too. All right, so I'm going to pretend to figure out how to change this. There we go. All right, so why I do this work. This is my family, and it's hard to believe that it's been 2.5 years since Isaac and Rumana have been home. It was quite an epic journey for us to adopt. We had gone through some real rough times to get through law school. I had already had our two older sons, and by the time we came out, we were not in a position to adopt financially or any other way. We found out that we could not have more children, but we decided to take the leap of faith anyway. And we did a lot of fundraising, and we did a lot of efforts, and amazingly, in 12 months, God brought them home. And I'll tell you some more pieces of that miraculous journey as we go along. So why do I do this? First and foremost, because I know that our God called us to. Scion Tree is our nonprofit, and I'll give you more information about that. We do that independently, separate from my work with the law firm. But Romans 8 is the core of what Scion Tree is really about. So Romans 8, 14 through 16. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies that with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we shall share in His suffering, in order that we may also share in His glory. Now, the first thing I'm going to tell you about adoption is it's not a magic fairyland. There's a lot of realities to it. There's a lot of real tough realities to it. And I feel that the end of the verse here is probably the most realistic, which is if you are willing to care for a life that God has entrusted to you, there's going to be hardship. There's going to be a lot of issues. But we get to share in His glory, too. Two more verses that are probably theme verses for the adoptive world. James 1:27 is probably the anthem of the adoption world, which is that religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Now, I'm not a minister. My dad is a pastor. That's a longer story. I'm a lawyer, all right? God gave me that skill set. And so, you know, what I can do with my skill set and what anybody else can do with theirs is service unto Him. But one of the beautiful things that I'm able to do is to be a parent. And if I can lead a child in my home to Christ, then that's one of the greatest acts of discipleship that we can do. One last verse, Galatians 4:4-7. God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are His sons, God set the Spirit out of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are His child, God has made you also an heir. So let's talk about what adoption is. There's a whole lot of information out there, so I'm just going to give kind of the 10,000-foot level today in ways that people can get involved. Okay? So, first of all, the number one question that everybody asks who doesn't know a whole lot about adoption is, why does it cost so much? Well, I'm going to explain that and also take away that fear and illusion that the cost should be an issue. So first of all, foster care. Foster care is adoption. It's not a legal adoption. In other words, you're not legally making them your child. But you know what? I know some amazing foster parents who they become their children in spirit, in emotion. And there are so many children out there that need a loving home and a loving example, even if it is not full adoption. Second type of adoption, the first legal form, is foster adoption. All right, and this is support for some of the most broken children in our society around us. You can adopt from the foster system, all right, in the United States, and we'll go through some pretty tough statistics out there too. First of all, for foster adoption, it is very inexpensive. It's about opening your heart and your home. Then there's step-parent adoption. A lot of people don't think about this one. Because it's kind of, you know, a lot of people think it's a sideline, but actually step-parent adoption is really significant in our country. For one child to have two legal guardians is very important, and to also fill a role of complete acceptance of that child. Then there's private adoption, which is, this is an attorney adoption. This is the kind I do. This is where God really brings amazing facts together. I mean, just literally facts and circumstances you would never guess. I recently completed an adoption of a little girl from Los Angeles to Ohio. And it happened in like 4 weeks. And it was just crazy. but it was so much fun to be a part of. It was really exciting. And there's a lot of really neat aspects to private adoption. Domestic agency adoption is probably the most common here in the United States. And the first thing I'll tell you is that it's growing. Adoption, you know, 30, 40 years ago was, you know, thought of as a way to complete your family if you couldn't have children. Well, I believe that the church in America is finally growing beyond that. They are understanding that adoption is a calling, that it's a commandment, and that we as a body should make every effort to bring children into our homes, to give them the opportunity to raise them as disciples. So domestic agency, we're going to talk about some of the specifics on domestic agency adoption and give you some great resources too. International adoption, I titled this one as Worlds Apart and Tragedies Beyond Our Comfortable Suburban Imaginations. Just as a sideline, my grandfather was a missionary to Mexico for 50 years and I saw some of the most terrible parts of Mexico. I'd never seen anything until I went to Ethiopia. I hear that Haiti and parts of India are similar, but there are tragedies beyond our comprehension. You know, I stepped over dead children on the street. I saw masses of children running the streets naked, like dogs. In Ethiopia alone right now, there's there's about 15 million orphans in Ethiopia alone, and they have an average life expectancy of 8 years. So we'll talk about some of those realities. So specifically the cost. What's the real cost? The real cost is, and these statistics are from UNICEF, 2013, 150 million orphans worldwide. The average life expectancy globally is 8.3 years. The lowest life expectancy is India, which is less than 5. 150,000 children in the U.S. foster system. So foster care. What's the cost of foster care? Nothing. The state will pay you. All right. So for foster adoption, the state will actually cover all the legal services. They'll even pay a subsidy for that child for life. Some states are much stronger than others. Ohio's pretty good. Kentucky's amazing. So if we're looking at foster care, Kentucky has unbelievable opportunities for those children. All right. Foster adoption, there's a $3,000 expense that can be subsidized and repaid by the state. So to put things in perspective, what is $3,000? I couldn't take my family to the beach for less than $3,000 for a week. And you're going to change your life forever. Step-parent adoption. What does it cost to really make it formal, to make that child a part of your life forever? About $2,000. A lot of people spend more than that on television now. Private adoption. It varies a great deal on the complexity, but on average about $6,000. All right. The average American home in the United States spends over $6,000 each Christmas. So can you skip Christmas one time? Change a child's life forever. Domestic agency adoption is about $20,000 because of all the wonderful people that help provide the services. Not one person in this room would probably think that $20,000 is excessive to buy a car. International adoption, it varies again by country and timing, but roughly $30,000. A simple new minivan these days costs more than that. And that's a car that will last you maybe 6 years. So specifically, foster care. Foster care is about being an example of love. As a foster parent, you may be able to be the only good example of love these children will ever experience. Just in Cuyahoga County alone, there's an enormous need for good homes that can be trusted. Who can be a foster parent? Anyone with a home and willingness to love. The age and accommodation restrictions are very liberal. The best homes for foster parenting right now are couples, mostly in their young 50s, who have grown children, who are willing to take a second adventure and help raise children. All right, so state support. Each of the states vary, but it's a really an amazing opportunity. And unfortunately, a reality with foster care, as many people have heard, is that it gets abused a lot of times, too. There's a lot of families that don't go into it for the right reason because they're just looking for the extra support from the state. So you got to be careful, but let me tell you, there's a great need for really good families. All right? Foster adoption. Two real principles in foster adoption, and Stacy Braun from Spirit of Faith can answer these much better. But specifically, if you're willing to consider adoption of foster children, you need to be very intentional about it. All right? These children have been bounced around from house to house, from family, from institution to institution, and if you are really considering adopting them, then you need to make a plan for that. All right? And the second one is be open. If you're just thinking of respite care and foster care, you never know what's going to get laid on your heart. All right? You're never going to think that you could love another child like you love your biologic. And trust me, you can. All right? Change the system. There is really an immediate, terrible need for good people with good homes to care for foster children. If you watch the news, I mean, it seems like every 5-6 months you see a home that is supposed to be a foster home, particularly with children with special needs, where they have 8 or 10 foster children with special needs. And the state supports that because the honest reality is there's not enough people willing to take those kids. So we ask ourselves, we see that news article about, you know, like the Grendals who had 12 kids with severe special needs. You ask yourself, how does that ever happen? Well, because there's nobody else stepping up to take the kids. So something to think about. All right, step-parent adoption, be a hero. All right? One of the most important things to realize is that we're not called to judge. All right? Difficult things happen in life. And if you are fortunate enough to be in a loving marriage where somebody has a child from a previous relationship and that parent has abandoned that child, then I think you're called to step up. You're called to fill that role fully. Additionally, for step-parent adoption, most people don't realize that it is a complete sever of legal authority. over that child from the prior parent. And so they do become a full heir. They become legally your own child for decision-making purposes, for inheritance purposes. And it's really a beautiful opportunity to express love. I've had the fortune to do many step-parent adoptions. So let's talk about domestic agency adoption. This is the vast majority of adoptions. Stacy Braun is here from Spirit of Faith Adoptions, and they're a wonderful organization that we personally used a number of years ago, and then I have the great fortune of being general counsel for them now. So we help the agency with a number of different questions when they come up with the law, but also with a lot of unique opportunities with families, too. All right, so the domestic agencies are growing as a whole because I'd say over the past 20 to 30 years, again, the church is awakening to this as a specific calling. I think a lot of people are adopting who already have biologic children. In our church, we kind of had a wave of adoption. I think there must be 10, 12 families in our church who have adopted internationally or going through the domestic process. And it's really a beautiful opportunity to see God work. All right, so adoption agencies. Why does it cost $20,000 or whatever it is? Here we go. First of all, they do all the hard legwork, all right, including finding birth mothers and birth fathers, making all the arrangements, fulfilling the maze of state law requirements. If anybody in here has adopted, there's a paperwork stack about that big to get through. But they help you do that, and they do an amazing job. And so it's a real honor to work with some of these agencies. So also, let's be practical. You need to do your homework on the adoption agency. Not everybody's in it for the right reason. Not everybody's got the same calling. All right. So a couple examples that two agencies that I work with regularly that are just outstanding. The first is Spirit of Faith Adoptions, which is like infant children for the majority. And so that's infant adoption throughout Ohio. And then Forever Homes is an organization I just started working with that is just really amazing. Their specific goal is to help with the placement of children who are older out of the foster system. I just completed a foster adoption from Kentucky for a 14-year-old girl who had a history that you don't even want to imagine. And it's just a beautiful opportunity. International adoption. We went through this personally. So this is going to be speaking from my personal experience. And first of all, it's embracing the world. We live in a little lily-white suburban town on the west side of Cleveland. And let me tell you, I'm so thankful to be a family of color in that town. People see us. We certainly stick out in the crowd. And I have had more opportunities to share my faith because people notice us than I ever have before. The biggest thing is that it's changed me and my wife and my older children as much as it's changed our adopted children. It's really reshaped our focus in life and what we feel we're called to do. So, children with special needs, all right, internationally, the need for people to adopt special needs children is just beyond comprehension. Number one, because most of the developing nations don't have the resources to care for those children, so they are the highest mortality rate. And they're also, genuinely, there are a lot of people who, when they are going through the adoption process, say, I want a healthy child. And there's nothing wrong with that. We all want a healthy child. But I got to stop for a second to share a little bit of our own story. So our second biologic son was born with a physical birth defect. And we went through all the treatment to help him walk. And he was released at 4 years old. And so when we went to adopt, we said, all right, we can handle a physical birth defect. Check that one off, you know. All those other diseases, no thank you. All right, so we didn't put those on there. But our agency, what that did is that put us in one of two categories. There's everybody who wanted a healthy child, And there's the we will consider. All right. So the we will consider, you got all the emails. All right. So all the emails about all the kids with the really significant needs. Well, it was May of 12. All right. May of 12. We got an email and it said baby girl with special needs. And we open it up. We get some information. It says baby girl placed at 14 days, under 4 pounds. Potential heart condition, tested positive for hepatitis B. I'm like, hep B, all right. I think I had a shot for that. I'm not sure exactly what that is. But we were immediately drawn to her, and so we did some homework, you know, Google on WebMD, what is hep B? All right. It scared the daylights out of us. Infant exposure to hepatitis B, 90-plus percent of the time turns chronic, which means liver failure and lymphokemia and a life expectancy of about 10 to 12 years. So we were floored. I'm like, all right, hold on. All right, God, are we really willing to take that? Are we really willing to bring a child into our home that our other children will fall in love with and watch die? So to be honest with you, we were stunned. And I think my wife and I both, for the first time in our lives, we really threw out a fleece. We said, all right, God, if this is our daughter, then you're going to bring us a little boy. Because we always knew there was supposed to be a little boy. And so we said, it's in your hands, God. Well, there hadn't been a little boy available for a couple months. But Isaac showed up the very last day that we could submit paperwork. So we accepted Rumana. And Isaac is a miracle too. He was a street child. He was on his own at 18 months. And at 2 years old, he was pretty significantly injured. He was kicked by a mule, several ribs and his back broken. By that time, he was horrifically malnourished and had a number of other diseases. But it took them both. And the reality is you don't know. You do not know most of the real medical history of these children. You don't know the social history. Many of these children have been horrifically abused. But we accepted them anyway because we felt that the adoption wasn't for us. It wasn't for us to have a pretty little family. It was for us to participate in God's suffering so we could see His glory. So here's the miracle. We lined up the best doctors at the Cleveland Clinic. We bring them home. We go to the specialist. We get all the blood tests. And we find out a month after we got home that Rumana's system beat it. So, I'm going to get to walk her down the aisle. And a very broken little boy now runs like the wind on the soccer field. So that's what set me on fire for adoption. I was generally a business attorney and a civil litigator before that, but I just knew I had to get involved. So international adoption, there are no guarantees. You are opening your heart and your home and saying, I'll take whatever God brings me. You need to accept that. And if you're really open to it, He'll find a way. You'll never be the same. You will be immersing your life into some of the most difficult parts of the world. And the perspective of what we do on a daily basis here will change forever. You know, there's something called re-entry. And if you've been a missionary to a really hard part of the world or had the kind of experiences we have, you literally are in a shock when you come back because you've seen, you know, children starving to death. And I drive by a BMW and a $1 million house and we spend $50 on dinner and so it's a shock, you know, and we become desensitized to what our real opportunities and abilities are here. So we wanted to be intentional about not going back to that life and not just living day to day. To do that, we started a nonprofit. It's called Scion Tree. Scion is the technical term for meaning grafted in. And we are grafted into the body of Christ, just as my two adopted children are grafted into my family. And we are accepted as sons and daughters. So Scion Tree does three main things. We surround the adoptive family, whether that means helping with fundraising, with information, with counseling, with any type of resource that you can do. The second is orphan care, direct orphan care, both in the United States domestically and with other organizations internationally. The third is that we focus on advocacy. Because that's my tool set, I get to advocate for their rights. We've been able to work with a number of organizations and legislative bodies to try to make positive changes for children. So I'm also completely humbled and grateful to be a part of the firm that I am. My partner is an amazing guy, and God really brought us together. He's an elder of a local church. He's got four kids of his own. And let me tell you how beautiful it is to start each week with prayer. And so that's a rare opportunity in my field. But I'm honored to be a part of that. And I'm really honored that every person that God's brought us since we began that firm is of the similar faith. And that we've been able to maintain our values and our convictions. And we get to live like that every day. So it's really a special